My guest is the Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, South Africa, Njangangulu Dugane. He's been the Archbishop since 1996. Like his predecessor, Desmond Tutu, he was an opponent of apartheid. He did time in the notorious prison Robben Island. His priorities now include fighting poverty and HIV. His church won a grant from the U.S. government for $10 million over 5 years for the HIV/AIDS programs. I asked him what churches around South Africa are doing about AIDS.
We have identified four broad areas that need addressing. The one is the whole question of stigma. The other is prevention. The other is treatment and loving care and support of people living with HIV and AIDS. I think of all those, I think stigma has been the priority for the churches because it is it decimates families, and people are not able to test themselves because of the stigma. And also, I think the church has also peddled a false theology of saying that if you are affected with HIV and AIDS, you must have done something wrong. And therefore, we are preaching a gospel which says HIV and AIDS is not punishment from God. It is a disease that is treatable, that is manageable, and that is preventable.
Now, I know you've gotten tested for HIV. Was that to take a public stand about the importance of being tested?
It was part of the process of fighting stigma. We took a decision as the church leadership in the Anglican Church that we must be publicly tested. This was to encourage people to go for voluntary counsel and testing. And so, as the Archbishop, I had to lead the pack from the front. And I deliberately chose not to go to a private clinic or to my doctor, but to go to a clinic in a township. Now, a township clinic is always full of people. And when archbishops come, and they come to be tested on HIV and AIDS, news spread very quickly. So by the time I got there, there were cameras, the media was there, and the almost the entire township was there to come and witness to an archbishop being tested. And of course, one of the journalists said, the archbishop must have been naughty to come and be tested for HIV and AIDS. But that had a tremendous impact because if an archbishop can be tested, it means people also have got that freedom to be tested. And also, in terms of the fight against the stigma, recently Nelson Mandela's son has died of AIDS, and Nelson Mandela publicly stated that his son has died of AIDS. So was another outstanding leader, Mangosuthu Buthelezi. Two of his children died of HIV and AIDS, and that helps in the fight against stigma, if public figures do disclose that people in their families have are living with AIDS and they've died with AIDS.
If you're just joining us, my guest is the Archbishop of South Africa, Njangangulu Dugane. You are from really a long line of priests. Your father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and some uncles were priests. Was it always obvious to you that you would become a priest?
Not at all. The last thing I wanted to be was to become a priest. When I went entered university, I wanted big bucks. I registered for commerce. Uh-huh. And of course, my course was to change because I got involved in political activism, which landed me on Robben Island. And there, that's where I wrestled with God and found the conviction to serve God in the ordained ministry.
What were you sentenced for? Were there particular anti-apartheid activities that got you sentenced to Robben Island?
Well, I was part of a movement that demonstrated against past laws. Past laws were at the heart of the oppression of the black person. And so it was my activism in the campaign against past laws, which finally saw me go to Robben Island for 3 years.
These were the passbook laws that required you to carry a passbook with you at all times?
Pass laws determined where black people would stay, would work, where they would be buried, whom they could fall in love with, and whom they could get married to. And they were at the heart of our oppression. And so it was our activism against that which saw us on Robben Island.
You served 3 years on Robben Island, and this was considered, I think, probably the harshest prison during the apartheid era. It's where Nelson Mandela served most of his 27 years in prison. You say that while you were serving time on Robben Island, you wrestled with God. What was the wrestling about?
The wrestling with God was the age-old question. How can a good God allow so much suffering in the world, in our country, and in particular on Robben Island? And it was that wrestling with God that here we were on the side of justice, fighting for what we believe is right. And our God is a God who wills that people should live in harmony and peace and enjoy life. And yet we are being denied fundamental basic rights in our country of birth.
And what were some of the ways that you were suffering and the men around you were suffering? What were some of the things you were forced to do? What were your living conditions like?
They were horrible. Robben Island was hell on earth. We were made to regret what we stood for. The working conditions were very much inhumane. Our clothing, we had khaki shorts, no underwear, and khaki shirts. We went barefoot, and the working conditions were hazardous, to say the least. And so it was those kinds of conditions. I've never seen the levels of sadism that I saw on Robben Island in my time there.
So getting back to wrestling with God, you were suffering, the men around you were suffering. This was an experience that lasted 3 years for you. Why did you not leave angry at God and bitter and hardened? Why did you leave resolved to become a priest?
It's one of those strange moments in life, and sometimes you cannot explain certain things that happens in your life. When you looked across the ocean and saw the beauty of Table Mountain and knew that life was going on there, and yet we were in these harsh conditions, and you one finally comes to a conclusion that this must not be God's will. It's humanity's dark side which creates these kinds of moments where we are put in such unpleasant conditions. And so it was a working of all those things that suddenly one had an inner peace, and as if God had touched one, and a sense of an intense feeling that God wants to use one for the ministry of reconciliation.
So when you got out of prison, what did you do next? Did you go right to seminary?
I did not immediately. I thought when I got out, maybe this was just an emotion of being in jail. But the thing kept on coming. It was actually 3 years after my release that I decided to go and see the then Archbishop together with my father to say that I am offering myself for the ordained ministry.
And what was your father's reaction?
He was overjoyed, of course. So was the Archbishop. And I recall meeting Archbishop Robert Selby Taylor in the study, which is now my office, and making this declaration that I've decided to go for the ordained ministry. And his answer was, "I have been waiting for you."
My guest is the Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, Njangangulu Dugane. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is the Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, Njangangulu Dugane. I'd like to ask you a question that's a kind of awkward question to ask, but I would just be really interested in hearing your response to this. Christianity has been, your religion, your father's, your grandfather's, your great-grandfather's religion. They were all priests. But Christianity is a religion that was brought to Africa by the countries that colonized Africa and, by missionaries from the West. In many ways, the colonizers, the people from the West who came to Africa took power and resources away from Africans. Have you ever felt that the religion of Christianity and the way it came to Africa was tainted by that at all?
In a sense, yes. The gospel was tainted by the colonizers. But one of the interesting aspects of our development and growth is that we analyze what is authentic, what is the authentic gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as proclaimed by Jesus Christ in the scriptures, apart from the misconceptions that were brought by the colonizers and the missionaries. Hence, the whole area of black theology, the whole area of liberation theology, which sought to find out what is the authentic gospel as distinct from what was colored by the missionaries and the colonizers.
I'm not sure if you follow American politics at all, but if you do, I'd be really interested in hearing your thoughts on the role of religion in American politics today and the rise of the religious right.
Well, I was there during the elections.
Oh, really?
So I,
what brought you here?
I was on sabbatical.
Oh, were you teaching?
Resting and reflecting, and did some speaking and teaching at Virginia Theological Seminary near D.C.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I think human nature is human nature. What America went through or is going through, we experienced it here in South Africa. There were the religious right, which supported apartheid. And bit by bit, there was conversion. And there has been a kind of a regrouping. And I think that even in America, going through that phase, there'll be time that if people address that, they'll come to terms with what is authentically right.
So the religious right supported apartheid in South Africa?
Oh, yes.
What was the religious justification that was given for it?
Well, there was a justification. They had a theological justification for apartheid, that God ordained that people should be separate. But the good news is that when some of the stalwarts who belonged to that church, which espoused that kind of theology, realized that this was not of God, they were able to stand up and say, no, I must obey God rather than man. And gradually, there was a transformation amongst the leadership in that church and an embracement into the authentic gospel of liberation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Archbishop, thank you so much for talking with us. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Njangangulu Dugane is the Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town.